Support for Radio Boston comes from Hadestown at the Box Center Wang Theater, Broadway's Tony and Grammy-winning Best Musical, an epic celebration of music, togetherness, and hope, raves Forbes. Playing April 23rd through April 28th. Buy your tickets today at boxcenter.org.
This is Radio Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks.
And I'm Sasha Pfeiffer. Housing is more expensive in Greater Boston than just about anywhere else in the country.
Here's how tough it is for families. Half of them who rent in this city pay almost a third of their paychecks to their landlords. A quarter of them pay more than half. As a former candidate for the mayor of New York, said, the rent is too damn high. It's true in the Big Apple. It's true here in Boston.
And because of those enticing high rents, investors are buying up properties, which plays a big role in hiking housing prices well above what many families can afford. The end result is that huge numbers of middle-income buyers in and around Boston are being priced out of the region.
So what can be done? Barry Bluestone has some big ideas, including millennial villages, new affordable housing communities for students and young professionals. They're just part of his plan to ease the housing crunch for Greater Boston's working families. Barry Bluestone is the director of the Dukakis Center for Urban and Regional Policy at Northeastern University. And Barry, great to have you. Thanks for joining us.
Nice to be back.
Listeners, we want to get you involved in this conversation. Are you renting, forking over your paycheck for your landlord, looking to move out of the city because you just can't afford it? Are you frustrated by too few affordable houses and condos to buy? You can call us at 800-423-8255. That's 800-423-TALK. But we're going to spend a little time talking to Barry Bluestone about his proposal, and then we're going to introduce City Councilor Mike Ross as well into this conversation. But first, Barry, let's lay out the challenge. What's happened to the housing market in the past decades? And start with the rental market.
Well, what's happened is that rents have continued to rise in Boston just one year after another, regardless of what's happening in the economy. We go through a great recession, rents go up anyway. Mm-hmm. At the same time, family incomes have stagnated. So the relationship, as you pointed out in the intro, between what people can afford and what their income is has just gone out of whack.
Mm-hmm.
Now, for 11 years, we've been putting out the Greater Boston Housing Report Card with the Boston Foundation. And we've been following this, and we keep knocking our head against the wall saying, how do you fix this?
Yeah.
We know we've got housing for the wealthy. We know how to do that.
Yeah.
Private developers can put that up. And we have some housing for lower-income people because of subsidies and government programs, low-income tax credits, and public housing. It's the vast middle that we need to keep in the city, that we need to keep in the region, who are just being priced out year after year after year.
And do we have any sense of how many medium-income families have had to leave the city because of the high cost of housing? How do we measure that?
Well, we don't have a specific number on how many have left. Hmm. What we know is when we look over the last decade from the census data, that the growth in a population in the city of Boston has been primarily among people who are well above median, that is, well-to-do folks, and people who are well less than 80% of median income. And the middle has actually declined. And we ask, well, why would the middle leave Boston? And the answer over and over again is they're seeking lower-cost housing in other parts of the region or leaving the state altogether. We have had an outflow from Greater Boston to other states, to New Hampshire, to Maine, mm-hmm. and further away, as people are saying, we just can't afford to live. We love it here. We love Red Sox Nation. Just can't afford to live here.
And what has this hot, hot rental market done to the stock of middle class housing for those hoping to buy a home? Explain that relationship.
Well, what happens is that, think about all of the triple-deckers we have, the two families and triple-deckers, which have been traditionally the workforce housing of Boston going mm-hmm. back a century. Those units are in such demand now, particularly from young kids, young folks, graduate students, undergraduates, young professionals, medical residents, that they have pushed the rents up. And since the rents have gone up, these homes, these triple-deckers, these garden apartments, have become extremely valuable. Mm-hmm. And therefore, investors are bidding against each other to buy these because of the great rent potential, and that's just pushing them out of the range of any working family that would like to buy into that market.
Well, Barry, you've brought in a really interesting set of proposals that I understand you're going to be introducing, bringing before the mayor, is that right, and the governor as well?
Yes, indeed.
So I want to get to those, but let me introduce City Councilor Mike Ross, Boston City Councilor Mike Ross. He ran for mayor recently. He made housing a key issue. And in fact, Barry, Bluestone was one of Mike Ross's campaign's economic advisors. managers. We brought him in today to see how all of these ideas might work out in the city. And Mike Ross, great of you to come in. Thanks for doing that.
Great to be here.
Let me ask you, your district includes some of the nicer addresses in the city, Beacon Hill, the West End, these, as well as areas that are flooded with students, including parts of the Back Bay. What are you hearing from your constituents about this issue, about these challenges that Barry just laid out for us?
Well, I mean, we believe that we need to build housing. And the easiest kind of housing, I believe, to build right now because the demand is so high is student-oriented housing. And what we're finding out is that the private marketplace actually does a better job of building that housing than the colleges and universities do, who are really focused on their bond rating and who are focused with building science centers and other campus buildings. That the first for-profit private dormitory just, you know, broke ground and is about to be opened. It's on Huntington Avenue. It's called Grandmark, and Lincoln Properties is doing it in concert with Northeastern University. It pays taxes. It costs the same to the student as a regular dormitory room does on campus, and it's adding 750 units of housing to our numbers off balance sheet from Northeastern. This is a model that we should replicate across the city. I believe, and my constituents believe, that it's a false choice to say that we can either have students or we can either have residents living in the city, long-term residents of the city. We need both. To do that, we need to build.
Well, let me ask you about that. I just want to follow up on that one. Here's what I'm unclear of. If so many of these students are one of the reasons that affordable middle-class housing is being filled up, why is it not incumbent on the universities to provide more housing for their students?
Well, it kind of is. And this is, for example, right now, Northeastern University is just about tomorrow to try to get their institutional master plan approved. And it was initially shot down. And it was shot down because they didn't have enough provisions for housing quickly enough in their master plan. They've now come back and they're putting more in. And it may win the day tomorrow. So every 10 years, universities need to get the approvals of the city of Boston in their institutional master plan. So there is a regulatory process. But, you know, that's a regulation that can work and that can put pressure on colleges. There are other regulations that are hurting this effort to create more housing. And the fact that we haven't been building as a city fast enough is also contributing to this problem. The fact that you have transit lines going out, you know, into the neighborhoods of the city, down into Dorchester and Hyde Park and Mattapan, we're virtually empty on either side where there's a huge opportunity for housing. That needs to change. And we need to make it easier to build and to permit and to grow housing in our city, all kinds of housing, not just student housing.
So, Barry, I want to come back to you. In your proposal, you say to free up older housing stock with 2 to 4 bedrooms for working families, we need new appropriate housing for graduate students and young professionals. This seems to be related to what Mike Ross is talking about. And you bring up something called millennial villages. So talk about that.
Well, when we look at the data, we realize that we have, of course, blessed by having all of these wonderful universities, our undergraduate students. But where we've really seen growth in the universities is our graduate students. I teach at Northeastern University. We've held our undergraduate freshman class to 2,800 for a decade, and we're going to do it for another decade. But we continue to increase our number of graduate students. 50% or more of our undergraduates are already living on campus. Thank you, BU. Thank you, Harvard. Thank you, BC. Thank you, Northeastern. But only 8% of the 100,000 graduate students are housed on campus. And so what I suggest in this millennial village is let's take a look at the graduate student population, along with medical residents and medical interns and other young professionals, and say, can we play some housing jujitsu here? If we could build housing that was appropriate for them, these are going to be smaller units, not family units, mm-hmm. and get them to move in because these would be appropriate for them with all the amenities they want, common space, first floor retail with maybe a Whole Foods or Trader Joe's, workout space, music rooms, seminar rooms, you name it, zip cars in the garage, places for your bicycle. We would hope that we would get literally thousands. I figure between 8,000 and 10,000 graduate students and others moving out of those traditional working class housing in Mission Hill, in Fenway, in Alston, Brighton, in Somerville, Cambridge,
And what would be the incentive? Would it be a better deal for them?
It would be an equal deal or close to an equal deal dollar-wise. Mm-hmm. But this would be appropriate for them. I have a lot of graduate students who are living with 3 and 4 roommates in Mission Hill. Mm-hmm. They'd like to actually have their own place, even if it were small. They'd like to have a place where there are other people like them who are musicians and engineers and lawyers in a close space with good public transit. Mm. That's what we would be selling here, and that's why I think there would be a big market for it. What we need to do, though, to get this built is what I call the new collaborative. Mm-hmm. We need developers, private or nonprofit developers, who are willing to put it up like Grand Mark. Mm. We need the universities and the teaching hospitals to agree to take what are called master leases. We agree to make sure that we fill so many of those units. We need the city and other communities thinking about their zoning, less parking. We need to be able to put up smaller units. We need to be able to use some public land, particularly near the transit routes that Councilman Ross talks about. And that together, if we could get all those people working together, yeah, we'd have the financing for it, the developers, some good architects to design it. I think we could produce enough to get as many, as I said, 10,000 of these folks out of housing, freeing up a huge amount of that working housing for working families.
And do you think that could actually bring the price down or just sort of, as they say, bend the curve of the increase?
Well, it would certainly in the short run bend the curve. Yeah. We have now about a 3.2% vacancy rate in Boston. Mm-hmm. Anything below about 5.5%, you get rents rising every year. If we can pull enough people into this new housing, we'll create some vacancies. And those vacancies start to stabilize rents because the landlords want to make sure they have somebody there. And if there's going to be that greater competition for the housing so that you have what is now a buyer's market rather than the seller's market that we have now, a landlord market, we have a renter market, we'll see prices, we'll see rents starting to stabilize. We'll also see the price of these buildings stabilize so that some of those working families can finally actually own a piece of the rock.
Mike Ross, we've just had a mayor's race. Housing was mentioned quite a bit, in particular by you. A new administration will be coming in January. Can you see real movement towards addressing some of these challenges? And particularly, you know, Barry was talking about a new sort of collaboration involving private housing developers, universities, teaching hospitals, construction, trade unions. Is that feasible? Is it going to, you know, can it happen?
I think it can. I think Professor Bluestone is right on. I mean, first, with our new mayor, I mean, the good news is that, you know, Representative Walsh has been, you know, or soon-to-be Mayor Walsh has been talking about this, you know, about developing our city for many years. And on the campaign, he did too. So he wants to build this city. This certainly is building the city. And, you know, I think that at the heart of this proposal is housing creation. And you can't expect rents to lower without creating housing. This will create housing. It will draw students into, you know, another form of living. And it will create a little bit more, you know, room, breathing room in our neighborhoods, particularly those neighborhoods like Alston, Brighton, Fenway, and Mission Hill. Hmm. And it's not to say, you know, there's not something to be gained by having, you know, some students and some lifelong residents living with each other. Of course there is. So that's going to continue. But there'll be just a little less pressure on the model by allowing some of these housing, as Professor Bluestone is talking about, to be created.
Listeners, we're talking to City Councilor Mike Ross and Barry Bluestone of Northeastern University about the problem of too few affordable housing options in Boston, especially for the middle class. Are you renting, buying, selling, just treading water? Share your story with us. Give us a call at 800-423-8255. That's 800-423-TALK. And Mike Ross and Barry Bluestone, I'm going to read you a comment off of Facebook that just came in. Shannon Dundon writes, "A third of my household income is going to rent every month, and I live in an apartment that is drastically under the inflated market in Jamaica Plain. I've held off having a family because I need to make sure I can afford a place to live. I guess if I want to have a family, I need to move out of Boston." So this is the sort of story that you're talking about. But I'm wondering, where does this lead if there are 10, 20, 1,000, thousands of Shannon Dundons who are contemplating that? What's the danger to the city? Who wants to take that?
Well, I'll start. I think there are two dangers to the city. One is what I love about Boston, or in Cambridge where I live, is its diversity. Mm-hmm. I don't want to live in a community of just the wealthy and the poor. That's not where I want to live. So the first thing is that if we lose the Shannons of Boston, that's what we're going to have. And it's going to be a community we're not going to like to live in. I think the second, though, is that our population in Massachusetts and in Greater Boston is aging faster than almost anywhere else in the country. And in order to be able to maintain our prosperity over the long run, we have to keep young people here, the Shannons of the world. And we also want to get those graduate students and those young professional students to think about staying here when they complete their degree at Northeastern University, because we're going to need them for the labor force. And if we don't have them here, firms will not stay here because they're going to go where the labor is. Housing, affordable housing for working families is critical to our economic development. And it's critical to the kind of community we want to live in.
Hmm. Mike Ross, do you want to add to that?
Yeah, I mean, it just goes to show you how Shannon, who's not a student, how her future is really dependent on creation of student housing. These are all connected. The other thing that's really interesting is I'm reading Metropolitan Revolution right now, which is a great book. And they're talking about how people stay where they're educated. They stay outside of MIT. They stay outside of Stanford. And if we want them to continue to stay and create companies and create business for us, we have to find a place for them to live. And this needs to happen.
Hmm. Let's go to the phones. Listeners, you can join this conversation about the high cost of housing and what to do about it in the greater Boston area. 800-423-8255. That's 800-423-TALK. Let's go to Janet, who's calling from Brighton. Hi, Janet. You're on the air.
Hi. Well, I'm really totally thrilled to hear that you're trying to make more affordable housing for students and graduate students.
It's a proposal. We'll see if we get there, right?
We hope. I mean, I live among many students, but I'm actually a professor, or have been my whole life, and I adore Boston, and I have to leave. I'm a recently retired professor, and I am now paying 60% of my income on my apartment, and in Brighton. And I, of course, I can't continue to do that. I'm living on Social Security now, and a little bit of retirement that I have. People might think that professors are wealthy. Well, I don't know, but I've fallen out of the middle class some time ago, and definitely now. And unfortunately, I'm very sad, but I have to leave Boston. I will be moving out in June.
Well, Janet, thank you so much for your call, and I'm sorry that you're in a position that you have to leave the city that you've obviously made a huge commitment to. What do you hear in Janet's story, Barry?
Well, it's a story we're hearing over and over and over again. You don't always hear it about a professor at the university, but our cost of housing has now gone up so quickly and so rapidly. We have the third highest rents in the country. Only New York and San Francisco have higher rents than we do. We have other cities that we're competing with where the rents are half what they are in Boston. And when you're spending as much as Janet is, 60% of your income, you're so house poor, you're not able to take care of the other things you need in life. Mm. Now, the key point about this is people might say, but why aren't we building housing directly for Janet? Why aren't we building housing directly for Shannon or a family with three kids? The problem, and I can't find an answer to it, is all the developers I've talked with said to build a new housing for families, let's say with 2 to 3 bedrooms, you're talking $500,000. And that's going to take 50% of the income of the average family in Boston. Mm. So I'd like to build housing for them, but I can't find a way to do that. So the question is, can I build housing for people who could afford an appropriate smaller unit to free up the larger units that we built in the late 19th and 20th century and throughout the 20th century, the older housing stock still in very good shape in most places, that was built at a time when construction costs were much lower, land costs were much lower. That's where we can have the middle class, working class, affordable housing.
Hmm. I want to ask you both about sort of what I'd call the sort of odd intersection of student debt and this issue as well, because student loans sort of act as a kind of rental subsidy on the one hand, but then student debt acts as a major impediment to home ownership at the other end. So presumably that makes it harder for students to stay in the city after they finish school. Is there anything that we can do about that? I know this isn't something that you address in your plan, Barry Bluestone, but either one of you want to take that on.
I mean, you know, I think the plan, whatever education looks like today, it's going to look very different even just 10 years from now. I mean, people aren't actually going to schools. They're hopping online instead. That's starting to happen more and more. I also believe that, as costs increase for colleges, you're going to see a lot more, you're going to have to see much better utilization at the community college level. So I think that will change. But one thing that will never change here in Boston is going to be demands on our housing. I mean, as Barry said, we're at a point right now where costs will just continue to go up every single year. And the thing that makes me frustrated is that Janet shouldn't have to leave Boston, that we're just not building fast enough. And the reason, and Barry, I hear you on it, because I hear the same thing from the developers saying that, well, we have to build luxury housing because it's all we can afford. We have to make it easier for developers to build housing so that they don't only have to build luxury housing. We have to open up new neighborhoods, new corridors, and new ways of developing. The permitting process in Boston is now famous for costing far too much and taking far too long. And I believe that it's time that we change that to try to get that price point down.
Let's take a couple more calls. Susan is calling from Hyde Park with maybe a slightly more hopeful perspective on this conversation. Hi, Susan. You're on the air.
Hi there. I'm calling because I think that, when you're looking for affordable middle-class housing for a family in Boston, it really does depend on the neighborhood. And my husband and I moved to Hyde Park a little over 2 years ago now. I had never lived in the city of Boston before. I had always lived in the suburbs. And I just think Hyde Park is a hidden gem for that kind of, if someone's looking for that. We have a big colonial house in a woodsy neighborhood in Hyde Park in Fairmount Hill. We're about to have our first child. And it's a very affordable neighborhood in the city of Boston.
Susan, thanks so much for that call. So, Mike Ross, there's Susan talking about Hyde Park as sort of being a hidden gem for middle-class housing. Is that one way we should be sort of thinking about this, maybe moving away a little bit from those tight urban centers?
That's the idea. She's right. Hyde Park's great. Rosendale's terrific. I live in Mission Hill. It's a great community. I sat down with a group of startup entrepreneurs, and we started talking about the Red Line. And a group of them actually thought the Red Line ended at South Station. I said, no, it keeps going. It goes to Dorchester. And they said, now is Dorchester part of Boston? And I said, oh, yeah. In fact, our next mayor now is living in Dorchester, Massachusetts. So my point is that there are great neighborhoods out there. Yeah, Susan's discovered it. Other people have discovered it. But we also have to build out there, too. And, not everyone's going to be able to buy the colonial, and to build apartments and housing and other forms of, scaled housing that's appropriate for those communities, and in some cases pushing the envelope.
Yeah.
I think we should be looking at that.
I would add that Hyde Park is somewhat more affordable. Roslindale is. Jamaica Plain used to be one of the most affordable places. Not anymore. When I first came to Boston as a starving first-year faculty member, I went to a rental agent and I said, where could I find the cheapest housing in Boston? And he said, do you mind a high crime rate? I said, I don't like homicide, but burglary, robbery, I'll take it. I ended up living in a place called Back Bay for $214 a month.
Yeah.
It was rooming houses back then. So what happens is that one neighborhood after another is being gentrified in the city. And our young professionals who we want to have here, keep them here, are part of the problem, but they're part of the solution to our economic problem, but they're part of the housing problem.
Yeah.
And while we still have some places that are somewhat affordable, there are fewer and fewer places like that around the city and around the communities of Somerville, Cambridge, Waltham, and Watertown.
Let me ask you both this question, and I think we've got time for this. We have about a minute left or so, but I'm just wondering, Boston isn't the only city with rising and continually rising housing prices. Are there models elsewhere around the country in terms of either this collaborative approach that you're talking about, Barry Bluestone, that might serve as, that might help us, that might guide us?
Yes. Well, one of them is in San Francisco, which has the second highest rents, a little more higher than Boston. And they have new developments of these micro-unit housings with the University of San Francisco. And so they're starting to deal with that problem. In New York, you have new housing being developed in a modular style to try and cut the cost, and particularly of some of the construction labor costs, which are going into these micro-units in large housing units in New York. So we have models around the country, and then we have models like Grand Mark here who are developing, private developers building housing with universities. So we got all the pieces. What I'm hoping to do with this plan is put all the pieces together and get something done.
Hmm. Mike Ross, final word to you. Optimistic that we can get something done on this issue?
Absolutely, because we're doing it. We're just doing it in small piecemeal fashion. We have to have a larger and broader plan. We should absolutely the next mayor needs to take the plan that Barry Bluestone has in front of him and implement it.
Well, we're going to be talking to Mayor-elect Marty Walsh next week, so that's one of the issues we'll bring up with him. We'll see what he has to say about that. And listeners, a lot of you called in. We didn't have time to get you on the show. The conversation continues at RadioBoston.org. Mike Ross, Boston City Councilor, and Barry Bluestone, thank you so much, Director of the Dukakis Center for Urban and Regional Policy at Northeastern University. Thank you both for coming in.
Thanks so much.
Glad to be here.
Listeners, stay with us. A lot more ahead. I'm Anthony Brooks with Sasha Pfeiffer. This is Radio Boston.